to me than he. Nor will there ever be one more dear. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyadi Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Let me repeat again this verse. Nacha tasman manusheshu kaschen me priyakritama bhavita nacha me tasmat anya priyataro bhuvi. Translation. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. This verse speaks about the devotee who spreads Krishna consciousness to others. Said, for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. Now today, we would like to look a little bit on the question why it is that the preacher is most dear to Krishna. We will analyze in the lecture a little bit why Krishna of all devotees recognizes the preacher the most. Most of the devotees who came for the function of Nrisimha Chaturthi are in some ways engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness to others, either in book distribution or preaching or restaurants. In fact, Prabhupada told us that even he who cleans the temple and is aware of the mission of Krishna consciousness, he is considered to be a preacher because he assists the preaching movement. In order to explain this subject matter, I have chosen to recite to you today a verse which appears in the 8th chapter of the 7th canto. The Lord slays the king of the demons, and which is particular relevant to all of us who have come together to celebrate Nrisimha Chaturthi tomorrow. Let me start with the Sanskrit. Alakshito gno patita patangamo yata nrisimho jasi so surastata natat vichitram kalusat vadamani svadhejasayonu purabhibhattama. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Purport. The Lord is situated transcendentally in pure goodness. The material world is generally controlled by tamagun, the quality of ignorance. But the spiritual world, because of the presence of the Lord and his effulgence, is free from all contamination by darkness, passion, or contaminated goodness. Although there is a tinge of goodness in this material world in terms of the Brahminical qualifications, such qualifications sometimes become invisible because of the strong prevalence of the modes of passion and ignorance. But because the Lord is always transcendentally situated, the material modes of passion and ignorance cannot touch him. When the Lord is present, there cannot be any darkness from the mode of ignorance. It is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:31, Krishna Surya Sama Mayahaya Andaka Yahan Krishna Tohan Nohi Mayara Adhikar. Godhead is light, nations is darkness. When there is Godhead, there is no nations. This material world is full of darkness and ignorance of spiritual life, but by Bhakti Yoga, this ignorance is dissipated. The Lord appeared because of the Bhakti Yoga exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj, and as soon as the Lord appeared, the effulgence of Hiranyakashipu's passion and ignorance was vanquished, as the Lord's quality of pure goodness or the Brahman effulgence became prominent. In that prominent effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible, or his influence became insignificant. An example illustrating how the darkness of the material world is vanquished is given in the Shastra. When Brahma was created from the lotus stem growing from the abdomen of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Lord Brahma saw everything to be dark. But when he received knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything became clear, as everything becomes clear when one comes from night to sunshine. The important point is that as long as we are in the material modes of nature, we are always in darkness. This darkness cannot be dissipated without the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is invoked by the practice of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga creates a transcendental situation with no tinges of material contamination. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Please excuse me for 1 minute. That's the most dangerous thing on Navayara Nishinga Chitra, that you come from a kirtan into the cold and catch a cold and ruin your whole festival. Be careful to not do this. So, dear devotees, dear friends, and dear skeptics, this verse is a very important and, let us say, even relevant illustration of the verse we are discussing today. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire, and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Once there was a demon. He was so powerful that when he just lifted his eyes, the most mightiest of warriors shook in great fear. He was so powerful that the waves of the ocean would splash their pearls before his feet when he was there. His name was Hiranyakashipu. A very powerful, universal, or let us say interstellar demon. His influence was universal. So Hiranyakashipu had a son who became a great devotee, and as a result there was a great struggle. At the end, Hiranyakashipu wanted to destroy his son, whose name was Prahlad, full of bliss, of transcendental bliss. That's what it means. So he one day confronted his son. Prahlad, I'm trying to make troubles to you, but you make trouble to me. From where do you get this power? I'm a very potent person, and you, my son, are not obeying me. And Prahlad answered, my dear lord, my dear father, best of the demons, he said, I'm getting my strength from the same source from which you are getting your strength. Ah, where is your God of whom you always talk? Is he there in the pillar? Yes, said Prahlad, and when he looked at the pillar, he saw Lord Nrsingadev twinkling with his eyes. He is in the pillar. Hiranyakashipu then went to the pillar, wanted to break it, to break the Lord, but the Lord appeared from the pillar and began to fight with Hiranyakashipu, who, as I said, was so powerful that he had even, overtaken the throne of King Indra, the king of this universe, the king of the devatas or demigods. Hiranyakashipu just chased him away and he sat on the throne in Amaravati, the capital. So it is described that the Lord was killing him just like a fire kills an insignificant insect which merges into it. Hiranyakashipu, the most powerful creature of the universe, more powerful than 10 million Gaddafis or Hussein Shahs in one, he was simply finished. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice explanation why this is so. The darkness cannot be dissipated without the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is invoked by the practice of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga creates a transcendental situation with no tinges of material contamination. By the process of Krishna consciousness, when it's executed and practiced in a bona fide way, Krishna appears, and when Krishna appears, the darkness of material life cannot stand any longer. When the preaching mission is spread in this material world, then the darkness of ignorance, which captures the fallen conditioned souls, loses its influence, and an era, a good era, is inaugurated by such preaching. The whole world is afraid of Maya, but Maya is afraid of Krishna. In this connection, Prabhupada has given us a very interesting example, which I want to repeat to my tired audience this evening. He gave the example that Krishna is the owner and lord of master, a lord and master of the material energy, and when he appears, he can call Maya back. And I want to illustrate this to you with a nice little story from my own personal life. When I was still in the material universe, in order to earn a little money, I had to, I distributed Welt am Sonntag, it's a newspaper. And I remember when we came every morning at around 5 o'clock, Sunday morning around 5 o'clock, I came to this one house in Framreda where we had to, where the owner had said, just ring me up every morning when you come at 5 o'clock, then I get out of bed and then I will come to the fence and I will take the newspaper and read it in the bed. You will get 2.50 marks for this service. So, being greedy, I became the servant of a materialist and rang every Sunday morning at 5 o'clock. But it was not the materialist, the person who heard the ringing of the bell first. It was always his terrible black dog who heard it first and came charging to me. And I remember this dog was so ferocious. It was big like a little horse, and it would, you know, just waff, 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 and, you know, have teeth like a tiger in attack, and the saliva would sprinkle all over me, and he was just ferocious, and I was so afraid. Bring, 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 bring. Until finally, the lord and master of the dog came. And as soon as he appeared, then the dog, he called the dog, come back, leave him alone, I want my newspaper. And he came to the fence and was very pleased with me, gave me the money, and one day he invited me even for cup of tea, and I said, no, 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 I stay here, your dog. He said, no, no, just come and I will protect you. And okay, I thought maybe he gives me another donation, and I went inside, and the dog, who previously was so ferocious, so angry, you know, began to lick my hand in sympathy. And ran in circles around me, circumambulation, and was extremely kind. So this is a good analogy taken by Srila Prabhupada to explain Maya's position. The material energy can only disturb the living entity in the absence of the Lord. As soon as Krishna is present, the material energy recedes, because Krishna is like the sun and Maya like the darkness. This point is very nicely explained in the seventh chapter of the first canto in the following verse. Momento. Yes, this verse describes Srila Vyasadeva, who had a transcendental vision of the Lord after profound meditation in bhakti yoga. Thus he fixed his mind perfectly, engaging it by linking it in devotional service without any tinge of materialism. And now see what he, now please hear what Vyasadeva saw in his mature meditation. He said, thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. This, here the verse says, Mayam chatat apashrayam. Apashrayam is very important. Apashrayam means under full control. Maya is under the full control of Krishna, just like the dog is under the full control of the master. And Maya cannot move an inch even if the Krishna son is there in your life. If you do not have Krishna in your mind, if you do not have Krishna in your heart, if you do not have Krishna in your life, you will be in the darkness of Maya. This is the rule of this world. The world is, as Prabhupada so deftly explained, it's a manifestation of Maya. I remember in the good old days, just read it the other day, we had this temple. Srila Prabhupada's first temple was in the 26th 7th Avenue in downtown New York, and some kids were there who threw a stone into the shopping window. So they broke the window, and a devotee called Advaita was asking Prabhupada, was that Maya who was striking? And Srila Prabhupada answered, why do you want to limit Maya to a window? Maya is always striking. Everything in this world is Maya, except the place where the chanting of Hare Krishna is going on. There, at this place, is no Maya. So, Maya is all-pervading, the illusion which separates us from the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this Maya, this material energy, keeps the living entity bound. The Bhagavatam says, Yaya samohito jiva admanam trigunatmakam paropi manute natam tatkritam chabipat. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. This is Maya. You think you are the body. You think you have no connection to Krishna. You think you are not the servant, but the master. So, as soon as Krishna consciousness begins to illuminate the consciousness of the living entity, this Maya goes. Now, to preach or to spread books, it means simply to make Krishna prominent again in the lives of the conditioned souls. It is not an easy task to preach in this material world. When you become dedicated to spreading Krishna consciousness, you actually declare war on the material energy, because you are bearing the light which dissipates the darkness. Prabhupada gave the example, if someone marries, he immediately inherits the enemies of that family into whom he marries and gets the friends of this. I think in our Western culture this is not so prominent, but for instance, if you marry into an Afghanistan family, they then you have a million enemies all of a sudden, because they are fighting always so much. So, if you become someone who spreads Krishna consciousness, the material energy will not immediately, give you only sunshine on your way. Once a new devotee was asked by Prabhupada, how was it today on Sankirtan? And the devotee said, not so good. And then Prabhupada said, when did I ever say it's easy to spread Krishna consciousness? It's not. Great devotees have always undertaken troubles, great troubles, in order to spread Krishna consciousness. we hear that, for instance, Lord Shiva says, it is said, great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of the people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Yes, if you become a giver and stop being a taker, if you give the light of Krishna consciousness into people's life, they will not always welcome you with a red carpet and a shower of flowers. But if you continue in your particular place of preaching and not give up, you become very soon and very easily recognized by Krishna as someone who is sacrificing everything for Krishna. When a devotee becomes thus recognized by Sri Krishna, then what else is there to get? We only need the recognition. We don't need the recognition of a woman or a mushkarski, a man. I think this is a new subject. We do not need the recognition of worldly people. We do not even need the recognition of Brahma. We want the recognition of Krishna, that here is a devotee who has sacrificed something for my mission. Krishna himself appears in this dark world to spread the darkness of material existence. Krishna himself comes when the religious principles get away. Krishna came as Lord Nrisimhadev to destroy the demon Hiranyakashipu. Krishna himself is a preacher, and he is very satisfied with someone who is on his wavelength. That is, someone who is preaching Krishna consciousness. Have you sometimes heard people criticizing our books? Sometimes people say, oh, your spiritual master is so heavy. He says, this rotten materialistic civilization. He says, rascals, duskritinas. He says, demoniac leaders, simply mislead the innocent public. He said other things which I don't want to repeat here because it's strong to digest for young people. And they say, your spiritual master sometimes appears a little angry. Have you ever heard this? No? Yes? Have you ever thought it? The point is, Srila Prabhupada, as a pure devotee, sees what Maya does with the conditioned soul. And his strong words are not directed against any persons. They are directed against the boundless ignorance which captures the conditioned souls, which drives them mad, and which makes them waste their valuable human form of life. Srila Prabhupada's anger is something like a compassionate anger against Maya. When a devotee becomes imbibed by the transcendental mission of his spiritual master, when he becomes serious to follow the instructions of his spiritual master, that's real initiation into the transcendental secret of Krishna consciousness. When a devotee understands that his mission in life should be to satisfy his spiritual master by following the preaching mission of his spiritual master, then he becomes truly connected with his spiritual master. And Sri Krishna is so satisfied with such a person that he becomes close to him. I want to read to you one of the most amazing shlokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will just... One moment. Here. Seeing Brahma present before him, the Lord accepted him as worthy to create living beings to be controlled as he desired. And thus, being much satisfied with him, the Lord shook hands with Brahma. Shook hands. And slightly smiling, addressed him thus. Prabhupada comments, Brahma also does his duty very perfectly, not only by generating the living entities, but also by spreading his party for reclaiming the fallen souls. And then he says, anyone preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord, and the Lord, being thus satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. Wouldn't you like that to happen in your life? Imagine the transcendental hands of the Lord. If we are touched with him by these hands, then we will be truly enlivened. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, who was touched by the Lord on the head, he said, I'm so enlivened, all my senses are enlivened. You won't be tired any longer. And especially my power of speech is enlivened. You will like to talk and go out for the book distribution mission and speak to one and all and get them to be connected with Krishna consciousness. I want to end my short lecture this evening with a little Prabhupada Leela, which I heard a few days ago, and which shows some of the compassion which Srila Prabhupada had, and some of his preaching spirit, and which also shows us how powerful the light of Krishna consciousness, which is generated by strong preaching, can become in driving away the ignorance. See, in the Paris temple, it was in Rue Le Sur, oh la la. There, there just next to that temple, there was a park, and in this park lived a boy who was a little retarded. Retarded in Deutsch heißt zurückgeblieben. He stuttered. His hair was long. He never shaved his face. His clothes was dirty and like a Ritterrüstung, like an armor, because it was caked with sweat and dirt. He was brown in his face. He lived from things which he found in the garbage. And somehow, because the temple was so close, he developed a strange attraction to the devotees. Maybe he sometimes ate prasadam, which he found. So the devotees, however, never had much contact with him. They called him Pigpen. So Pigpen always wanted to come in the temple, but the devotee said, no, you stick. Impossible to tolerate your presence. So one day when Prabhupada was in Rue Le Sur, he went on a morning walk and he passed by this park. So all of a sudden this Pigpen rushed out of the bushes and threw himself before the feet of Prabhupada and grabbed the feet of Srila Prabhupada. And you know, the devotees were like, maybe he wants, you know, like to attack Prabhupada or something. And they immediately, five strong brahmacharis jumped on him and just led him away. And all of a sudden, they heard Prabhupada saying, no. So they put him, they didn't do anything further, but put him just in the bushes, you know, remained in the bushes, pig pen. So the next day, when Srila Prabhupada returned to the temple, this pig pen, you know, really dirty, was in the temple. And Prabhupada, no one had seen it because everyone was out of the temple to greet it, but somehow Pigpen managed to climb through a window, and there he was smelling like 10,000 skunks, you know, just being very unfortunate. And he threw again himself before Prabhupada's lotus feet, and he cried with tears in his eyes, see me! See me! He wanted that Prabhupada looked at him in his utter despair, his verzweifelte Existenz, his miserable condition in existence. And he shouted, Ercy! Ercy! It means mercy. So Prabhupada just saw him, and again the devotees wanted to take him and throw him in some place in the universe. But again, Prabhupada said, this time very strong, no! And he allowed Pigpen to grab his lotus feet for 7 minutes. And then he went with his lotus hand on the hair and just rubbed the head. So the devotees knew they couldn't do anything against Pigpen. So then Prabhupada gave a lecture, and he spoke about book distribution. That he who preaches this, who spreads this Krishna consciousness to the fallen souls is most dear. And he gave a lecture where he extolled the glories of book distribution. At that time, and Pigpen was there listening to everything. So after the lecture, they brought Pigpen in the bathing room, you know, in the bath, and just scrubbed him in rivers of dirt, intolerable smelling dirt just went from him. And they put him in a dhoti, and he became the pot washer. So one day, Pigpen was missing. And the devotee who took charge of the books found out books were missing. And then everyone thought, aha, Pigpen has blooped. He has taken books with him, and he wants to make some money out of it. And then, you know, buy a bottle of gin or something. Mm. But then in the evening class, Pigpen was back. He gave a bundle of notes to the temple president. Where were you, Pigpen? I was distributing, I won't study any longer, books, because Prabhupada said this in the lecture. We should distribute books. Really? So he became initiated, his name became Rasada, and as I heard, he's still distributing books somewhere in America. He's not a very well-known devotee, but he is a sign of Prabhupada's mercy. This is Prabhupada's mood, a compassionate mood to spread Krishna consciousness. And by this, anyone who inherits this mood, who takes up the family mood, so to say, he will be blessed by
Srila Prabhupada and by Krishna, who will shake hands with such a preacher. This is the fastest way of becoming dear to the Lord. And when you are dear to the Lord, what else do you want? It is all fulfilled. By preaching or distributing books, you will be a witness to the wonderful potency of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, tomorrow, let us all pray to Lord Nrsingadev to take the anathas out of our hearts, the selfishness out of our heart, which keeps us from entering the mood of a compassionate preacher or spreader of Krishna consciousness. Sri Nrsingha Chaturdasi ki jai, Sisi Gaura Nitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions regarding this subject? Now, before you ask your question, I want to ask, is Shakshus here? No. Is there someone who can please get Shakshu? And Divirata, du bist gerade einsatzbereit. Ist das richtig? Wir brauchen Shakshu, der wollte seine Helfer jetzt vorstellen. Kannst du dem oder jemanden sagen, er soll das holen? So, do you have any questions before the Shakshu comes? No. Yes. You have to be as so loud as you never were in your whole life so that I can hear you. It seems that, I will repeat your question, it seems that Krishna says that he who preaches to the devotees is most dear to me, but what's about, it seems that Krishna doesn't like that we preach to the non-devotees, otherwise he would have said it. I'm exaggerating your question a little bit. Your assumption is true. Krishna, he says that this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita should only be explained to those who are self-controlled, who are austere. I mean, the non-devotees are not very much self-controlled and also not very much austere. So, does this mean we should not preach to the non-devotees? In the purport to this verse, Prabhupada makes the point that the preacher sometimes takes the risk of going even to the non-devotees. And this makes him especially dear to the Lord. Although the Lord says officially, this is official standpoint in the Bhagavad Gita, go to the qualified, inofficially, he is